It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Today, injury news. Aguero's groin has gone gammy. There's a bad hit for Tammy. And what about Fabinho's injury? Will it leave Brighton feeling jammy? All the big questions are answered in today's show. Fancy Manager, hello to you. How are you feeling ahead of game week 14? We've got a packed show of information with which to prepare your team. And providing some of that, we've got broadcaster and former player Adrian Clarke.
Hello.
Finally showing his face again after... I can't remember what shame it was that you had last time.
There's been a lot of shame this season. Right. But I'm hanging in there. I'm keeping my chin up.
Well, yeah. You're keeping your chin up and keeping Sebastien Haller up front, which is bold.
He's out.
Has he gone? Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about your plans later on. Because alongside you, we have football writer for the Daily Telegraph, JJ Bull. Hello. JJ.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Right.
I think I was a bit cocky earlier in the season, and I've levelled out to exactly where I should be, which is near the bottom-ish.
Okay. You struggled with the disappointment of Cantwell on the bench with his 10 points last week.
Yeah, that happens to me a lot. I had Kenny McLean. He scored and got a bunch of points once. He was on the bench as well. They always are on the bench for
Wow.
me.
It's just it can happen. That's part of the risk of the game.
I know, I'm not brave enough. It's a problem.
Jeff Dance is back as well, fancy football scout, fresh from 61 points. You're probably a bit disappointed with that, are you, Jeff?
It's not the best. My captaincy has been letting me down all season. I picked Sterling this week thinking he would have a big game, and he obviously didn't. But 61 points without a captaincy haul is not too bad.
That's true. Top of our pundits league is still Julian Laurens, to whom I owe an apology because he was boldly talking about bringing in Danny Ings last week, and that's exactly what he did. And Ings returned, despite my mocking. Ings now with Jeff, his fifth goal in how many?
5 and 7 now, and wow. He's got some fixtures now that I think he might actually be a nice pick at 6 million.
Right, and he's the player that all the goals are going to go through as well.
If Southampton score, it looks like it'll be Ings.
46% of their goals this season have come from Ings, and that's the highest percentage of any player and team.
Danny
in the
Ings.
Premier League this season, yeah.
Wow, so if you were looking for a replacement forward this week, then that might be an option. And plenty of us are because, of course, of events midweek in the Champions League where Chelsea were away at Valencia and saw Tammy Abraham, their big goal threat, going off. Now, how long do we think he's going to be out for? Are we hanging on to him? Are we looking to swap him out? I think three of us here in the studio have Tammy in our side. JJ, what are you doing about this?
I am doing the very exciting thing of just letting it see if he is fit in time. And if he is, that's great. And if not, I've got Neil Maupay on the bench, who it will definitely score against Liverpool. So my options aren't that great. And I've just used my transfer already this week. So I'm in a bit of a hard place. But I was toying with taking Abraham out and putting someone in like Jimenez at Wolves, who I think is due to score a few more.
Well, he's on a terrific run, Jimenez. Just to check, you're joking when you say that Mope will definitely score away at Liverpool, are you?
I am joking, yes.
Or is that something to do with Fabinho's injury, another big knock which was picked up midweek in the Champions League? Jeff, what are you doing about Tammy?
I think in much the same way that JJ is waiting, I'm going to at least wait until I hear from Lampard in his press conference. And if it sounds like he's out, then I might move. But I really am undecided on what I'll do this week. So
but I bet you've got we'll someone earmarked in case.
I think Jimenez is a really good shout, actually. His underlying stats look really nice, as well as the returns and the fixtures. So he's an option. Ings is an option. But there are some higher-priced forwards that I'm looking at, which maybe we'll get into a little bit later.
Perhaps so. Sergio Aguero, another forward who's not available at present. The groin is the issue there?
Yeah, so he's down to 16.4%, which means not a huge amount of people have him, but the impact on City, I think, will be the big thing. I'm not sure how it'll affect Sterling, for example, and Jesus will be starting. So
right.
There's some interesting
picks
now.
I think Sterling will be asked to pick up more of the slack. Well, not asked to, but he'll probably will. And the thing with Aguero as well, because Pep's been changing his forwards week in, week out. He's trying to manage the Champions League. Seems to really be their focus this season. You can't guarantee that Aguero or Sterling or Jesus will start every single week. But now you know Jesus has to start to get in that forward position.
All right. Well, they're away at Newcastle this coming weekend. Let's look at that as we touch on the Game Week 14 fixtures after this. Game Week 14. Dare I say, Adrian, it looks a favourable set of games. There's lots of big hitters with fixtures, you can see them picking up some points in.
You'd imagine so, yeah. I think the Newcastle-Manchester City one stands out, doesn't it? I've got Benjamin Mendy in, who's quite expensive and hasn't really delivered enough going forward for me.
When he's played.
For me, he still has to play. Angelino or Angelino, however you pronounce it. He can't defend. I know that Mendy isn't a great defender, but Angelino is not good. I would anticipate Mendy starting the bulk of games coming up. So I'll stick with him. But yeah, you've got to be looking towards Jesus, I think. He's had the most shots per 90 in the Premier League of all the players that have started four matches this season, over four shots per game. He scored 7 in 8. I think he's a bargain in the short term.
How much does he cost, Adrian?
9.5. Okay. And only 1.9% of people have him.
He's a very interesting option. And for me, I think that Sterling plays really quite a lot better when Jesus is playing. So Sterling, when he plays with Jesus in the four games this season, is averaging 10.8 points per match. Without Jesus, he's averaging only 3.3. So
wow.
With Aguero or anybody else. So Sterling does pick up his game when Jesus is starting, it seems so far, even though it's a small sample size.
Everything with this game is that Newcastle, you know, they always defend in that really strict low block, like a 5-4-1, and try and break. And that's the kind of game that often City have struggled to break teams down in. And De Bruyne, I don't think he's quite firing like he should be so far. And he's normally the key, or David Silva, or something like that. They looked a bit, I think, out of sorts recently, Man City. But you've got, because they play such a high line, City, and they will have all of the ball against Newcastle, the way that Bruce will have them set up, Steve Bruce, is that Alan Saint-Maximin and Almiron will be trying to ping in over the back of the centre-backs. And you've got Fernandinho probably will start next to John Stones, neither of whom are particularly rapid.
Right.
So there's always a chance for a random one-off Saint-Maximin in behind running at 80.
They can run all they want. I'm not sure if anything's ever going to come of it from a Newcastle's point of view. Just to mention as well, from a Magpie point of view, Lascelles is out, so which is obviously going to facilitate Man City's attempts to get points on the board for fancy managers. Speaking of which, Patrick asks, I have De Bruyne and Sterling. I want to ship one out. Am I making a mistake? If not, who do I get rid of?
I'm actually thinking about getting rid of Sterling this week as well. Although I think City will do well, I think there are other options out there. I'm considering maybe going to Mo Salah and doubling up on the Liverpool midfield. I'm thinking about some Spurs players. I think that getting rid of one City player isn't the worst decision, but it's always going to be a struggle to figure out who to get rid of. And if you get rid of them, they can always score big that game week.
But who do you think between those two then, Sterling and De Bruyne?
Wow.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Your silence is more than words.
I struggled with this dilemma myself and got rid of Sterling because I felt De Bruyne was long-term more reliable in terms of being a pick.
I got rid of Kevin De Bruyne thinking that Sterling was more explosive, but there is a big price difference in there. So if you're getting rid of one of them and you're looking to get maybe Son in or Kane or one of those big players, then maybe getting rid of Sterling gives you that little bit of money to spend. But like I said, it's so difficult to get rid of one of them knowing that they could hit it big in any game week.
Indeed. Plenty of people do want to get Son in at the moment. He's the most transferred in midfielder since Sir Jose Mourinho's return. And, of course, another big result for Spurs midweek. This weekend, they're going to be at home to Bournemouth. Annie Drood asking, is Son 9.7 million? Is he an option worth considering? No doubt, Adrian.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I think he's tailor-made for Jose Mourinho. They're going to break up play better, aren't they, Spurs? They were too nice in the latter stages of the Poch regime. They're going to win the ball back more often, and they are absolutely going to use the drive of Son on the break. He's made to play for Mourinho. My problem is that I'm playing a little bit of catch-up here and I don't want to follow everybody. So there are one or two alternatives you could go with, Lucas Moura or Dele Alli among them. So I wouldn't say it was all about Son. It does feel like Dele Alli is a bit of a favourite already of Mourinho's.
Yeah, I would say Alli would be... I'm trying to get Alli into my team either this week and take a hit or certainly coming up. Mourinho has already said he thinks he should be, you know, he's trying to talk him up as one of the best players in the world. He's not, but he will score a lot of goals for Mourinho, who has also said he'll definitely play him as a second striker, which he'll be making these late runs in behind, getting goals at back post, which is something he's very good at. I also think for Spurs, no, it's not a midfielder or forward, but Aurier will be really important, could get a lot of points going forward as he keeps clean sheets under Mourinho, but also because the way they're playing now is like a front four with Aurier wide right as an extra winger. And he scored in the Champions League with that lovely swerved shot.
It was magnificent goal.
I love those kind of goals. But I don't think he'll score many of those. But he'll be there for assists and things like that. And obviously the defensive clean sheet points count.
It's really tempting to just pile on Spurs players right now. Harry Kane with a couple of goals in that 4-2 win midweek over Olympiacos. Their fixtures in the short term don't look bad. They got Bournemouth at home this weekend, then away to Manchester United, which used to be a really difficult game for them. These days, I'm not so sure. Then they're back home against Burnley. Then they have Wolves away and Chelsea, and obviously not so favourable, before they welcome Brighton to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Jeff, how many Spurs players and which?
I have zero right now, but I think getting one in makes a whole lot of sense. Getting two in probably makes sense. I don't like tripling up on attacks, so I wouldn't get three. But I think everyone who's been mentioned, they're all good picks, and Lucas Moura is only 7 million. So there are probably five Spurs picks that could work before you even look at Gazzaniga in goal. So
right.
I think probably two picks makes a lot of sense. Three maybe is pushing it with so many other teams having fixtures. But with Liverpool's blank game week in game week 18, maybe it's time to triple up.
Who would be your two if you'd be going with two?
I think a lot of it depends on formation. And for me, we haven't quite seen enough of Spurs to know. But I think that Son probably has the most attacking potential. Ali's a nice price. And then Moura as a decent kind of cheaper option. So two of those three is where I would go.
JJ, I know one doubt you have about Lucas Moura is whether once the honeymoon's over between Jose Mourinho and Tottenham Hotspur, he starts to bring in a slightly more solid midfield.
Yeah, I wonder whether Moussa Sissoko might actually play ahead of Moura, maybe not this week, but very soon, purely because he fits the Mourinho tactic better. He's a far more defensive winger when he has played there in the past. I know he's been playing at centre mid for Spurs for some time now, but he gives him the option. He can move him in the game as well and get overloads in the midfield. And Moura doesn't do the defensive work that Mourinho expects. He's been all nice about it just now and talking all his players up, being all lovely. But that, I mean, how long is that going to last? We all know the mask will slip at some point. So that's why I'd be wary of Moura. If you put him in now, I don't know how long it would be before Sissoko does replace him.
Okay, all right. I know you're looking at Liverpool against Brighton this week as being potentially of interest. Is that because of Fabinho's absence probably from the game?
Not so much. I still think that Liverpool will have quite a strong game. I'm looking at Mane, who I already have in my team. He's got great form, great home form. But then I'm looking at Salah as well. As I mentioned earlier, Sterling to Salah is a move that kind of scares me a little bit, but Salah has 6 goals in 6 home games. His ankle's a bit of a worry, and again, right, the blank in game week 18, but doubling up on those two looks like something that not a whole lot of people are doing.
Okay, nothing from him last weekend away at Palace. So it's interesting that you would think to bring him in at this point.
Yeah, so Klopp was going to bring him on. He was all ready to go, basically, and then Mane scored the second goal to put Liverpool ahead, and Klopp then told Salah to sit back down, and then Salah played midweek. So for me, it looks like an ankle injury that's kind of going to be recurring, but that he'll be able to play through for the most part. And he's down to 20% ownership now, which is quite low for Salah. Three of their next four are at home. Salah's home form is great. I'm interested to see how Liverpool can push on with some really nice fixtures before that blank.
Yeah, if I'm Graham Potter, and I know you won't publicly say this, you're going to target Mo Salah's ankle. You're going to go through with it, go through on him. Be physical with Mo Salah, because when you're carrying these injuries, these knocks and bruises that won't go away, it's a worry. It is a worry.
So he does like to go down quite easily in the box, yeah, though. So if you're trying to
keep that's true. That is true. But I remember having a bruised foot, and just when you thought it was going, you would get someone tread on it, and it would happen over and over again. It just feels like this ankle injury is not going to go away in a hurry.
And Adrian, you can answer this better than I could. Do you think that Salah's going to be wary of his ankle and kind of maybe stay out of some challenges away from the ball a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it could. I don't think he'll stay out of the. He'll want to get on the ball. But you might not want to get too close to opposition defenders. We might see him run in beyond defenders that little bit more often. But you can strap up your ankle and you can play on with it. But I'm telling you now, rival players know now what the problem is.
So it's not an investment you'd be looking to make, Salah,
rid of him recently because of it, really, and I brought in Mane instead.
Okay, just very briefly, Fabinho isn't a player who a lot of fantasy managers would be looking to for points. But his absence could have a big impact on some other more popular Liverpool assets, as indeed we saw this week against Napoli. Almost as soon as he went off the field, Napoli scored.
Yeah, he links everything together. He protects the defence, but he also provides that nice first pass in the midfield so they can go forward. And Liverpool's midfield is mostly a kind of ball-winning one so that other people can create and score. So when you lose a player like Fabinho who keeps everything together and makes you feel safe, suddenly you're not, you know, look over your shoulder and it's not the same boy there. So you'd think maybe Wijnaldum or Henderson would drop into that six role, but they're not the same player that Fabinho is. He's been so important to them this season. And it could mean that they're not, they're just not the, you know, if you lose a one component part, suddenly the whole machine's a little bit different. And I wonder whether that could affect the way Liverpool, who haven't been, again, at their best quite recently, whether that might have a knock-on effect in some other bits they play.
Right, OK. Have you got any high-value defensive assets for Liverpool?
I have Alexander-Arnold.
Right.
But I think I'm going to get rid. Yeah. The thing is, I can't work out whether I take the hit, like I said before, and, you know, and put him out and put in someone a bit cheaper, maybe...
Like who?
Well, Aurier, I think, at Spurs, because then you get that, and he'll definitely get some points. But Alexander-Arnold will probably finish quite high up, but I'd rather have the points for strikers and midfielders at the moment, especially when you're going into the busy Christmas period and there'll be so many weird mistakes made.
It also makes sense, maybe, to get rid of the Liverpool defence now when they're not racking up the clean sheets. There are three home games in four, but after that there's a blank, and then they've got a run of maybe six semi-difficult fixtures until February. So maybe now is the time to get rid of Liverpool. I won't be doing it, but JJ's braver than I am.
Jeff, you're piling in while everybody else is racing out. It's all very, very exciting. But you mentioned the Christmas period and the fixtures coming thick and fast. Let's have a little look now at our long-term planning with the long view. Right, the long view, as we check ahead for the next six fixtures and who's got the best run of games. Sheffield United, really appetising matches on the way, and one or two options we know about. Lundstrom, I think if you haven't got him in by now, then you really need to rectify that. Although, he is only one yellow card away from suspension. So that's one little question about them. Other popular choices from the Blades, Lise Musset, who's, I think, in doubt for this weekend's clash with Wolves. John Fleck as well, who had a goal and an assist in the 3-3 draw with Man United. 22 points in his last two games at Bramall Lane.
Yeah, he had a goal in his last game as well. He's a nice option. He's not someone I'm looking at currently. I've got him in some draft leagues, but he's just not quite shown me enough yet, although the Sheffield fixtures do look very nice.
When you look at the next six fixtures, which teams do you think really stand out as big investment possibilities?
Southampton stands out,
right?
Even though they've been really poor, I saw them in the flesh at the weekend at Emirates Stadium. They were so good, really confident, and they wiped the floor with Arsenal for long periods of that game. They've got a couple of home games against Watford and Norwich, Newcastle away, West Ham, who are just awful at the moment, and then it gets a bit tougher with trips to Villa and Chelsea. So yeah.
Which Saints players would you be tipping?
Ings is a great shout. I also like the look of Gineppo, actually. He's a fantastically exciting player to watch. He's got good end product. He scored two brilliant winning goals already this season. He's barely played because he's been injured.
Had a frustrating time of it at the Emirates, though.
Yeah, he missed some good chances. Yeah. But he came off the bench. And once he came off the bench, Southampton just started to create for fun. Huh. Him and Bufal are very, very interesting, exciting players. And look, Gineppo has scored two worldies already. I think this guy can finish.
Are you genuinely thinking about getting him and the Saints players in?
I think he's a potential one, yeah. I'm more drawn towards Ings at the moment.
Right.
But Gineppo, I wouldn't advise against Gineppo.
All right, JJ?
I like to look at Chelsea and Leicester's runs. They're both in form. Both can score a lot of goals. And I think Chelsea are more likely to concede because they are so open when they go forwards, and they'd leave Jorginho with just two centre-backs. It happens quite a bit. But Christian Pulisic and if Tammy Abraham is fit, are guaranteed goal-getters. I think Michy Batshuayi, if he does come in, could be a random one who does get you some points. They play so many players forward that they're going to guarantee you goals. Whereas Leicester are playing like Everton, who, you know, could be Marco Silva's last game in charge, so you think they'd win that one. Watford, who are dreadful. Aston Villa, they should probably beat them. Norwich, they should beat them as well. A lot of goals for players like Vardy, Ayoze Perez, maybe Harvey Barnes, even just these random ones coming in.
I think there's those two teams, Chelsea and Leicester, lots of us have many players from them. But particularly Chelsea right now, I'm interested to see how they line up and who's going to play. So Mount now has been rested in the Premier League and then in the Champions League. I expect that he'll play this game week against West Ham. I think in those easier fixtures, he has a better chance of playing. I think he'll probably play instead of one of that three, instead of Conte, Jorginho, and Kovacic. Who drops out, I'm not sure. In more difficult games, I think Lampard likes those three more experienced players in there. But then even at left back, who's going to start there? Is Tomori maybe going to get rotated a little bit more? And then Abraham as well. There's lots of questions for me at Chelsea right now. They're great picks, but who's going to start? Who's going to play?
Manchester United have got a decent run of fixtures. Four home games out of the next six. Villa at home, Spurs at home, Everton at home, Newcastle at home, away at City, bad fixture, away at Watford, good fixture. So I like the look of that, and particularly with Rashford and Martial together. I think that Manchester United are a different animal when those two are combining.
All right. We had Simeon writing in saying, Brandon Williams, I got him in two game weeks ago, and already I feel like a winner. Thing is, we've been expecting Man United to really start returning for a week or two now, and it's not quite happened.
It hasn't, but Williams is a very nice pick at $4 million. He now, it looks like, might have that spot nailed down over Luke Shaw, at least in the short term. And you look all over that team, Maguire should at some point start to get some more chances from corners. He's a big target up there. I think Manchester United assets are great picks, and even when you look at the Tottenham and the City games, you never know what's going to happen in a derby. And Tottenham going to United, that's Mourinho's first game back at United. Who knows what will happen in that game? So those could be wide open where Rashford, Martial, James, anyone could pop up and get a goal or two in those. So not as difficult maybe as they normally would look.
All right, it's a shame you can't pick the ball boy for that fixture. Well, speaking of the likes of Brandon Williams, this week with the hashtag FPL pod, we were asking you who you're looking at as a differential, players under 10% ownership. We'll have a look at some of your answers and the thoughts of us here in the studio after this. Our Wednesday tweet this week was, who are you looking at as a differential under 10% ownership? Your answers with the hashtag FPL pod included this from Ahmed, who says Danny Ings. He's got good fixtures up next. And yeah, absolutely. Julian was tipping that last week. You're already going to get him in, aren't you, Adrian?
Yeah, he's definitely coming in. The two differentials that I'm bringing in are Anthony Martial and Danny Ings. Martial, 9.4%. Ings, 4.2%. And there'll be an upgrade on Hudson-Odoi and Haller, who I can finally get shot of. I've been unable to get rid of him for quite a while now. Right. I have other priorities. But yeah, I think that these two they'll do for me.
Steve mentioned Serge Aurier, who we've already talked about. Daub says Ward-Prowse and Dele Alli this week. And also Wilfred Zaha is looking more dangerous with good Christmas fixtures. Palace indeed have a really nice set of games, but they've also only picked up 1 point from their last five matches, which is worrying form.
Certainly a worry. Zaha just doesn't quite look, he never convinces me. He always looks like he's just on the verge of being able to convert and get some FPL points. It just doesn't quite happen. He runs and he falls down and he's very active and he makes some nice passes, but he just doesn't quite put it together. The fixtures are very nice though. 6.6 million is a nice price for him. Are there better options elsewhere? Potentially, but he's a differential for a reason.
He has been moved to the left wing again recently by Roy Hodgson, and that'll make a difference because he's been stuck on the right. And the problem with Zaha, like you say, he doesn't tend to score an awful lot. And also, he just seems really wound up by all his teammates all of the time, which is...
It's true. It's true. Cast your mind back to last season. I remember I did a piece on Palace recently. Last season, he went 4-4-2 in 21 of 38 games. Zaha was a striker in that. He's not played up front this season. And Palace, with this favourable run of games, will Roy Hodgson move away from 4-5-1, and I think he's been really cautious this season, will he suddenly stick him up top with Jordan Ayew or Benteke?
One of the difficulties for Palace is if they're trying to break teams down, they've got some really nice home fixtures, they've got some nice away fixtures. Are they going to be trying to break teams down? And if they do, does that mean that Zaha's going to be out wide, or will he be up front? And for me, he's kind of a player who does well in the counterattack if he's got some players to send those balls through. But I'm just not quite convinced that he's going to come through.
Is there someone from Palace who you would pick given their fixtures?
I think that Jordan Ayew is a nice pick, partially because of his price. So instead of being 6'6", like Zaha is, he's only 5.1 million. He's owned by 8.1%. And he doesn't have a whole lot of goals this year, four so far. But again, the fixtures are so strong that I kind of think for that price, you can bench him sometimes, you can play him sometimes. He can be a nice rotation player there. For me, he's the one to look at if you want to maybe downgrade and save some money.
A couple of other suggestions from managers. Lawrence comes up with Tomori at 4.9, Zaha at 6.6 million, and Ayoze Perez of 6.2 million. I had Perez at the start of the season. I was convinced that was going to be a genius move.
Me too.
We were ahead of our time, weren't we? Football's caught up with us. Would you get him now, JJ? Would you get in Perez now?
Yeah, I would. I think because especially with their running fixtures coming in, and you look at the way that Leicester are kind of dominating games and the way that Pereira plays in that right, he overlaps him, so Perez can play as a second striker a lot of the time. He'll definitely get some more goals, maybe not prolific, but...
He's got 4 in 4, but that's due to that hat-trick in the game at Southampton.
Yeah. He's always been a streaky player, so maybe worth sticking with in the short term.
Right. Absolutely, yeah, and alongside Vardy, you'll just get a couple of through balls in for him, get your assists up. I think he's not the best option you'll ever get, but I do like him. I think he'll do well this next few games coming up.
Okay, Adrian, I know you've already mentioned a couple of differential options, Anthony Martial being one of them and Danny Ings the other.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, though, about Tarkowski, who's been on fire in the last two game weeks, 29 points. That's just phenomenal. Only 2.9% ownership and 5 million the price. Is he not the ultimate differential right now?
Very good choice. Very good pick. I've got Nick Pope in goal, who I'm delighted with. He's been a fantastic servant for me so far this season. So I'm not moving him. I don't think I'll double up on Burnley. I'm not that confident. But if you haven't got a Burnley defender or keeper, then Tarkowski could be the man.
Or do you think that's just been that was his moment and it's gone now?
The fixtures worry me a little bit. They've got two nice home fixtures in the next four, so potentially, often with these defenders who are not over 5 million, I look at home fixtures. When can you, because you're not going to play them every week probably, when can you kind of, which fixtures can you target? And for me, there are two in the next four. He's a little bit more expensive than I would want to spend. Again, I also have Pope, but we might just have missed some of his attacking returns there.
I see. All right then. Well, in a second or two, we'll get on to everybody's plans for this weekend, who they're going to be bringing in and out, and who gets to wear the armband. This week's deadline for Game Week 14 is 11:30 on Saturday morning, an hour before Newcastle and Man City kick off at St James's. So that's when we're going to have our teams ready. JJ, you got your move in early this week.
Yeah, I've made a classic foolish error and I put in Pulisic for Mason Mount because I think Pulisic's due. He's a good run of form. He's going to score some goals, especially with West Ham coming up. But I also, like we just talked about, I think Lampard might end up resting him, rotating him for Mount now, which is the player I swapped out for Pulisic. So I'm doing the opposite of what Lampard has done.
Have you ever put a player in and then taken him out in the space of the same game week?
I wouldn't put anything past me. but no, I don't think I've done that.
No?
Not yet.
Is this a confession?
No, I'm pretty sure I have, but I mean, I live for transfers, so that's kind of, it's just a byproduct of my addiction to hits. But okay, so that's your move this week, and I think you've got to stick with it, no?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm so far behind, I wonder how much it actually would bother me if I did take another 4 or 8 points hit, something like that. Because I would put in Aurier and Dele Alli. I've made it so I can do that. I've got the long-term strategy, but I need to know when to pull the trigger, and it's always too late.
I think the Pulisic move is a nice one, actually. I think that Mount and Pulisic are both going to play. I think I said earlier that I think Mount will get this game at least, and Pulisic looks so dangerous. I am a little bit worried that he'll get a rest at some point, but he does look their most kind of attacking threat. So I wouldn't reverse that transfer. I think it sounds
Jeff, what's sounds your good. Move this week?
I'm not sure. I'm going to wait on Tammy Abraham and see if he looks like he's going to start. I've got Sterling, who I am thinking about moving out for maybe a Spurs asset or maybe Mo Salah. And then I'm kind of looking at the fixtures coming up and how many there are. Often we see a little bit of rotation. So I might do something like sell Sterling for Madison. I have Cantwell, maybe move him up. So I've got kind of 8 rotatable attacking assets. In short, I'm not sure, but I think it'll be something either Abraham out or I'll kind of move Sterling out and then upgrade somewhere else in my team.
How long would you think of as an acceptable amount of time to wait for Abraham? If, for example, he's meant to be out for two weeks, would you think, I'm not going to waste a transfer on that, I'll hang about and just play other other assets?
My team is pretty well set up, so I've got Soyuncu off the bench this week. So even if Tammy might play or might not, I could just hold my transfers and then use my bench. And I could even help my bench out a little bit, put some money into that, and then just keep Abraham. If he's out one game week, I'll definitely be holding. Two, probably. But depending on your team, I think it really differs.
Right, JJ was trying to have a look at Adrian's team there.
Adrian
doesn't want any of that going
on.
Well,
no, I'm just a bit embarrassed about my team, really.
Right.
I had to go, it's so unbalanced. I had to go with five at the back last weekend, which is...
No shame
which
in
is,
that.
Well, they picked up quite a few
depends
points.
Which five?
Yeah, I kind of lucked out on it, really. I only had De Bruyne and Mane fit and available in midfield.
Right.
Both delivered. Yeah. Kane did the job for me up top. Haller's gone.
Haller's going out.
He'll go. Ings will come in.
Ings.
Martial's going to come in for Callum Hudson-Odoi. I'm going to take a 4-point hit there. And then I've got my next two lined up. Oba, I can't get rid of him ahead of Norwich and Brighton, even though Arsenal are playing really poorly.
Right.
But he is.
So in a couple of weeks, you're going
to. He's my big gun that I can use the funds from to strengthen in midfield.
All right. And is there a player you've got your eye on?
A few.
I see.
I would say that Rashford might be one of those players. I don't know if Adrian's thinking about Rashford, but yeah. Maybe in 2 weeks, it's Rashford's time, and then yeah. And then it's time to ship
yeah,
out to Arsenal.
Yeah, he's definitely on the shortlist.
All right. Well, listen, the real headache this season has been the captain's armband, unless you've been giving it to Jamie Vardy over the last month and a half.
Like Julien.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and like myself, and that's the one thing I've been getting right. Vardy every week has been delivering. Is that going to be the case again this time as Leicester take on Everton, or who have you got your eye on for the captain's armband?
I think I'm going to go with Harry Kane because Jose Mourinho will get him flying and he is due scoring hat-tricks. It's going to happen. And now I've said it, unfortunately.
No, but he does look in even yeah. When Spurs were struggling, he still looked...
Well, I do actually have Pulisic right now as captain. I did it before I would forget to do it. It was my bold, brave move, which I've already worked out might be a backfire. But I think West Ham have looked so bad. They were awful against Man City, so that either they're going to come back with a great performance or they're going to be exactly the same and Pellegrini gets in even more trouble. And if that is the case, Chelsea will run riot, and I think that's what I was saying. I think Pulisic will be the one that causes the most damage.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Adrian, who's going to wear the armband?
Well, Kane wore it last weekend, and I'm tempted to go with him again. I completely get where JJ's coming from. Bournemouth are quite stubborn against Spurs. I remember watching this fixture a few times, and they've kept Spurs at bay very well away from home down the years, not taking too many batterings. So I'm looking at Liverpool at home to Brighton. Brighton conceded 4 at City, 2 at Chelsea, 3 at Manchester United. Liverpool weren't good in midweek. I think they'll be better this time around. So I'm going to go for Mane, probably.
All right. Just one thing to finish off, and we haven't mentioned him for, I think, the first show of the entire season, Teemu Pukki. Yes. Norwich hosting Arsenal. Jeff, you finally got rid of him last week, just in time for him to start returning again. Is the party back underway?
I'm not sure if it's back underway, but he's still one of those options who's going to do well in certain stretches, and he isn't going to do well in other stretches. I think Cantwell is kind of the same thing. He finally got returns as well. I got rid of him for Rashford, who is a nice... Again, I think that Rashford's going to be a very nice pick going forward. And when I look at my captaincy, I've got, I think, 7 of my 8 attackers have home games. Probably 7 of them could be captaincy shouts this week. So for me, Rashford might be a captaincy shout. Mane as well. I might even go Sterling if I don't get rid of him.
Okay. All right, big decisions await us then. 11:30.
Good problems, those.
Sorry. Indeed. But problems nonetheless, problems that need to be resolved by 11:30 on Saturday morning. Ideally before that, because JJ, you're absolutely right. Get it done early, and that way you can't forget. So that's the situation ahead of Game Week 14. Hope that's been of some use to you all. Remember, for more FPL content like the FPL Show and FPL FYI, head over to PremierLeague.com or join us again next week for more from the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. For now, from JJ, Adrian, Jeff and myself, it's best of luck and we'll see you soon.